are listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside of Tori and Miles. Together, we have over 75 years of experience advising and brokering the metals. Each week, the three of us will provide a technical analysis of the charts and cover the underlying fundamentals and the news that helps move and predict these markets. So let's get into the charts.
Yeah, we actually have some red to show.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Yeah.
Yeah, fun week this week, sort of, from a chart perspective. I guess there was a lot less action than people would have expected because a couple things have happened over the past week. But taking a little glimpse at how the markets reacted, a little bit of volatility, but ultimately week to week, not a lot of movement. So let's kick it off with gold, which is actually down just over 1%, currently sitting at $3,335 per ounce. Silver also down slightly, about 1.25%, down to $36.30. Platinum, on the other hand, is up, and we're definitely going to talk about platinum this week. Platinum now up 2.7% on the past week, which is about platinum's worst week in the last month. But it is sitting at $1,363. So that puts us at the highest price in platinum in 11 years. Palladium also up about 1% to $1,070. And the S&P up 1.6% to $6,094. Now, kind of like platinum for the S&P, that's also the highest price in 14 years. And the US dollar is, surprise, surprise, down about 1.25% to 97.71. So continuing to push below that 100 mark. Well, boys, where do we want to start this week?
Well, let's go in reverse order here for just a bit, because that dollar is what President Trump wants. He wants a weaker dollar and all the advantages that come with that we've gone into on this show before, from a export and employment standpoint, and exporting our inflation as well is one of the things that it does. But interestingly, to have the dollar down 1.25% and gold down 1%, you don't see that. Usually the US dollar and the gold price are a mirror image of each other, almost zero or non-correlation.
But one thing too, you've seen the drop in the dollar since its peak in the middle of January and a corresponding rise in gold, but gold has doubled in its rise versus the decline in the dollar.
Yeah, the dollar down since that high, what, Miles, like January 13th of 2025 this year, I think we're down 11% on the US dollar index, and gold's up north of 23% in that same period of time. So yeah, you're right, Rob, it's like doubling the decline of the dollar, which is partly the reason that people say gold is such a great inflation hedge, that it's maintaining its purchasing power as the currency against which it's being measured is declining. And that's happening in every currency in the world right now. This is a global phenomenon, not a US dollar and American phenomenon only.
Well, and that's 11% in 5 months, and the largest asset in history.
That's true.
US dollar currency. And that's the dollar index. So that's the dollar compared to the other currencies. So the dollar is losing purchasing power internationally. Again, what President Trump is hoping for, because it does make the US slightly more competitive in global trade. But let's not forget that that also hurts the spending of the average American.
But the Fed needs it to be like that. I mean, we've talked about that. They need lower interest rates and higher inflation to offset this debt burden that we have.
And they need that too, because it's lucrative for them. It's a private corporation that's not federal in any fashion and not supposed to be political either. And I definitely want to get into some Fed comments later in the show. But
yeah, how's the Fed doing with its bond auctions at the current interest rates?
Well, they got to sell some bonds because they're doing a $2.5 billion renovation of their headquarters.
Wow,
we should talk about that now.
Significant amount of money, isn't it?
Yeah, they need to sell bonds.
6 minutes of government spending.
How much did it cost to fly the B-2s over and drop
$30,000? There's a good point. So where's the napkin, Rob? Let's get the back of your hand out and do some math here.
And
okay,
that.
So
That is why they need to sell the bonds, right? Yeah. Because they're dropping bombs.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the rate that we're dropping bombs.
So is it 30 million per bomb times 12 bombs? Then whatever it costs to fly a B-2 for 36 straight hours times six. So that's probably around $1 billion plus. Yeah. So the Fed needs to do a massive life-changing renovation, but we just blew through that much money in about a day and a half.
But I wonder if Jasmine Crockett is upset that Chairman Powell didn't call her about spending the money for the renovation of their headquarters versus her office, you know, because she's got to be involved somehow.
All right, let's come back around here. Let's gather our
focus.
Here we go.
Sorry, guys.
If we're going in reverse order, the S&P, we'll cover the equities markets only in as much as they're related to the metals markets. So talking about a non-correlation, 74% of the time, gold is moving in a non-correlated fashion with the stock market. But Miles, it's important that everybody know that yes, here's gold up so strongly this year, but the S&P 500 is also at a high, and that is because that weaker dollar means all asset classes have to adjust.
Well, let's talk about real estate, though. Real estate's in trouble. You would expect real estate to go up with a weaker dollar, and that's why Trump is desperate to lower interest rates as well to revitalize the real estate sector, which he's very much a part of. But real estate's in trouble.
It really is. I mean, you have 500,000 more homes for sale than there are buyers right now. So you're going to see the prices finally start to soften. Interest rates aren't changed. That's a big argument that's going back and forth in the political arena with the Federal Reserve and the president.
Which is the Federal Reserve suddenly becoming very political. They didn't mind dropping interest rates half of a percentage point before the election, but now they're looking ahead instead of looking at their so-called analysis currently. They should be able to drop interest rates based on what they said a year ago, but that's not going to happen.
Well, they're still aiming to cut rates twice, but the president calls him Too Late Powell. That's the nickname for Jerome Powell. And he said, quote, Jerome Powell is costing our country hundreds of billions of dollars. He is truly one of the dumbest and most destructive people in government. And the Fed board is complicit. Europe has had 10 cuts. We have had none. We should be 2.5 points lower and save billions on all of Biden's short-term debt. We have low inflation. Too late is an American disgrace. So it's not just political, it's now personal. And we'll see what happens. I mean, there's rumors of Powell not sticking it out till next May, that there may be a resignation in the next 6 months. Now, again, that could all be political jargon going back and forth. And there is dissension in troops with the Federal Reserve. There are some governors that are now saying we should be cutting rates.
Yep.
The effect of the tariffs has already been seen. You don't need to wait any longer. Don't wait until we have a bad stagflation and try to revitalize some things. But all that does is drive consumer credit and debt higher. It drives borrowing higher. That's not necessarily a healthy thing that it's cheaper to borrow, but it does help when it's cheaper to pay off existing debt that may be variable in the rate.
I want to circle back to gold and what Hedgeye is saying, because we're looking at the gold chart. Gold definitely is trending lower. And without the anxiety over Iran and Israel, looks like that's mitigating, let's say. I don't know that. But at the same time, that fundamental aspect of driving gold prices higher, which we saw this week, gold peaked and then it cratered. And now the trend is looking down. But Hedgeye is saying this coming next quarter is going to be good for gold. So unpack that a little bit.
Well, good for gold means bad for GDP and bad for certainly inflation, which is okay. Hedgeye has quads. For those of you who are not familiar with Hedgeye risk management, but these quads basically are predictive and very short-term, immediately reactive to the real numbers rather than waiting for the previous month's numbers that most of the market reacts to. They're living in live time. And they're saying now that July is likely to change into what's called a quad four, which means decreased GDP. So a reduction in economic activity, but also a reduction in inflation corresponding with policy in Washington. That's good for gold. It's not as good for the white metal. So if they're correct, you may see a pause in silver and platinum here in the month of July, but you may see a continued climb in gold. I want to get into the price action that you mentioned too, because Miles, I think it's important if you can show us the spike in gold with the Iranian-Israeli conflict, but also the spike in the dollar index, the spike in oil, and all three of them reversed because it's a short-term deal.
Short-term geopolitical driving into the markets as opposed to seasonality, as opposed to technical analysis. So you have the all three, and we're seeing it live right now, just this week. All three are in play.
From my perspective, when I'm looking at charts, I like to look in short, medium, and long-term timelines. And then I'm looking for the trends and the support and resistance levels within those various timelines. So when I'm looking at a short-term trend, now for me, short-term trend, let's say over the last month or two, clearly gold has been in this band between the previous all-time high, which we put in back in April, just at 3,500, and then the declining low, which we put in on May 15th, which was down around 3130. We've got a pretty broad trading range there. Now, what we've been doing is we've been compressing back up towards that previous high, making this nice channel of growth back up towards the old high. So this now we're looking at kind of our medium term, the last number of months here. We had a strong growth up. It peaked out. We've had a correction. Now we're having sort of an extended break here in the price of gold as gold decides if it's going to continue the growth long-term trend, if the short-term trend, the medium-term trend, and the long-term trend all end up lining up, and we end up getting a continuation of the long-term bull market that gold has been and will continue to be in probably still for a number of years.
Oh, I agree with that. I mean, we are definitely in a long-term, but I'm trying to give a quick window. Are we going to have $3,200 gold in the next few weeks, or are we going to see it recover and start pushing back up again? What's the 200-day moving average at anyway?
The 200-day moving average is still under 3,000. You're looking at 2915, so we're well above it at this point. And in that short-term timeline that I'm talking about, as gold is compressing back up towards the previous high, we actually have broken down below the floor. Now, it was a pretty aggressive rising floor, but we've broken below that floor at this point. So do I think HedgeEye is looking at things from one angle? I'm looking at things from a purely chart standpoint and saying, you know, in my perspective, I think gold is likely trending down. I see no reason that gold dips below the previous lows, which takes us back to that May 15th number down in the mid-3100s. I don't see any reason we dip below that. I think we're just looking at some sideways trading that's going to allow that 200-day moving average to continue to creep up. Eventually, we'll come down and touch it, but I don't see that happening in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. So, I mean, people can look at gold right now where we are. Maybe there's a 5% risk. But let's take a look at the products, too. You can buy $20 gold pieces that are uncirculated. And I'm talking coins that are almost a full ounce of gold. And they're $100 to $150 per ounce cheaper than Gold Eagles right now.
Yeah, and the $20 gold piece, just for the listener, is the old pre-1933 one-ounce coins. Yeah. Right now, it's a $50 gold piece that the American Eagle is. The Buffalo's a $100 gold piece. And that's in just a circulated or even uncirculated condition. You can get them slabbed and graded. And this is the lowest premium market I've seen in my career here.
Ever.
Well, then that would explain why. And for you to say that with more than 40 years of experience is telling a lot, you know?
Unbelievable.
And that's a great diversification. I mean, consider that a practical consideration for the listener is that, look, you may be interested in buying more gold and silver. Really take a look at true semi-numismatic product. Numismatic is just the collectible coin world. But taking a look at that, it can give you benefits above and beyond the spot price move in the premium play.
Right. And it also protects you to the downside.
Great point.
Because these coins are 90 to 150 years old. And if you can buy them cheaper than a Gold Eagle, cheaper than a Gold Eagle coin for coin, but cheaper than a Gold Eagle ounce for ounce, they don't make them anymore. So you can buy some of those. And if gold were to fall down to 3,200, you'll see some support because of the premium. Right now, they're super cheap, but they won't stay that way.
There are definitely bad days to buy collectible coins.
But yeah, this ain't it.
This ain't. But where's the downside potential on something like that? Worst case scenario, let's pretend that coin never holds a premium again, which is ridiculous. A Mickey Mantle baseball card is always going to be worth more than a modern one, you know, but it's going to fluctuate. Well, let's just pretend it never happens again. Okay, no big deal. You made as much money as you would just owning outright gold.
That's right.
That's absolutely true.
So there's no downside potential on something like that.
When I came to work here back in the mid-1980s, it took two gold eagles when they started making them in 86 to equal one St. Gaudens higher grade, like an MS-63. And now it's actually under 1-to-1. The St. Gaudens is less than a gold eagle right now. Crazy.
And unfortunately, we're an unregulated industry. So the listeners need to know that too, that the physical precious metals brokerage market is unregulated.
It's like TV wrestling without the rules.
Yeah. Even worse, at least that was entertaining.
Yeah.
This is actually harmful.
Yeah, there's no Ed McMahon like guiding the story here. I'm actually glad you brought that up because it's so dangerous to me because there's so many things out there that get sold as collectibles that
yes.
aren't. Yeah. And just from a client perspective and an investor perspective, understanding what actually gives a coin scarcity and rarity, I think is an important thing for us to go into. So I don't mind us tossing this out here on this conversation, but maybe that is something we look into.
I would love to, because we've all had people call us who had bought IRAs from other precious metals dealers, and then they were given our phone number by the trustee saying, hey, call these guys. And they put hundreds of thousands of dollars in only to find out the market value was half of what they paid. And they thought they were buying some kind of unique modern coin, and it was all phony.
Yep. Modern day bullion product that they have an exclusivity on that they can jack up the premium on, and your hard-earned money goes down 50% overnight in the IRA. So again, that'll
but be a great... But they got $10,000 worth of free silver.
Yeah, and storage fees for the year.
Right, but so. The $10,000 worth of free silver was actually only worth about $4,000. Yeah.
For a great future show for our listeners. We can laugh about it, but it's actually a travesty. Yeah.
Well, we have helped people get their money back.
We're left cleaning up the mess.
Yeah,
right?
And yeah. We have. Yep. We've been successful at least 2/3 of the time getting these guys to send the money back to the client. So yeah. It's
how
been
do you really feel, Rob?
I feel very really strongly feel. About it because I love this industry. I have devoted my adult life to this industry, and I hate to see when people are taken advantage of.
All right, so a little bit of a tangent there, but we have got to cover silver. We've got a little bit to do here in terms of the white metals.
Yeah, let's go quick into silver, even though it's pretty big news, because I think a lot of the discussion we definitely want to have is still around platinum like it was last week. But silver here with a high over this past week in the low 37s, would we hit like 37.30 and change? That's actually the highest point in that big trading range we talked about that dates back to like 2011, 2012. So we actually hit the highest point back from February of 2012. One more little push up in silver, and now we're getting into the last little trading range from 2010 and 11 that pushed silver to those all-time highs just shy of $50. So there was a big trading range that we need to fist fight our way through on silver, going from 26 all the way up to 37. It was a lot of volatility following the previous bull market when the bull market turned bear and we had the big fist fight and the bears finally took control of the silver market all the way in 2013. So kudos to silver this past week, giving us the highest price in what's that, 13 years now? So pretty excited to see silver finally playing catch up to what gold's already done.
And it's driven the ratio down again. So we were as high as 104-to-1.
We're now at 92.
Yep, 92. So, but Miles, you mentioned something on the gold chart having broken that trend line to the downside. With us not maintaining that high, does this week cause you any concern that there's a breaking of that trend line? On silver, are you still very, very bullish?
gold and silver are trading very differently from each other right now. You know, gold put in a top, and over the last month or so, gold has been in a declining channel, of which it broke below that channel here over this past week, which likely means we're going to take a step down and create a new channel, not significantly lower, because it's still likely going to be within the broad trading range of gold, which is about $300-$400. It's a big trading range, but still going to be within. Silver, on the other hand, is still in a rising channel that it has continued to be in going back to May, after it took a big jump up in February and March, and then just kept going. So gold is just at the bottom of its declining channel. Silver isn't even at the top of its rising channel. So I would argue it's likely, if silver is going to hold this channel, you're looking at silver probably up another buck before it decides to come back down. And if it coincides a $38 or $39 silver price with gold maybe coming down another $50 or $100, well, we're going to see a significantly different ratio at that point.
All right. So what about platinum?
Yeah, because platinum, I am so excited about platinum. Because,
I can hear that.
I mean, I saw it completely fall out of bed. And now with the recent moves in platinum, we are back up to that channel all the way across a decade or more. And we are now breaking through. Oh, golly, I'm so excited, because I've had people in platinum only maybe 3 or 5% of their portfolio in platinum, but that little 3 or 5% sticks in people's throats. They like, I love everything but platinum. Yeah. It's doing nothing. And now it's finally doing something. So let's talk. Yeah.
We just looked at an old trading range on silver that dates back to 2011, 2012, and how we're seeing silver now start to break out of that trading range on the top end. So silver came in over the last couple of months. It fought its way through the line of scrimmage. It broke past the linebackers, and now it's looking for open field. Platinum, as of this week, just hit that line of scrimmage. So I think what we're seeing take place in silver, we talk about gold leading the charge, silver following behind. Well, now we're going to start seeing some of the industrial precious metals follow behind silver also. When we talked a couple hours ago, platinum was just touching that range, which put it in line with the February of 2021 highs. And since we got our show notes together and started recording, we've now pushed above it. So platinum is above the February 2021 highs. And now we're looking at platinum going back to like September of 2014 pricing. So both silver and platinum are giving us the big grand scale, long-term trend, bullish breakout moves that we've been looking for. Silver slightly ahead of platinum as far as where it is when you look at the charts, but both of them are looking very, very strong. Now, with that being said, until we get out of this range, looking at the volatility of platinum, yeah, it could turn around. That's what happened back in 2020, 2021, the last time it came up here.
Well, but that was geopolitical. That it's sort of like today's conversation with how all of the metals and the dollar and oil reacted to the bombing of Iran. Again, never a reason to invest unless you're a day trader and you're buying the volatility. But Miles, back then, that to me was kind of a blip on the radar that had only to do with Russia invading Ukraine and the concerns with platinum supply with Russia. Sure. And so I think that this is even healthier than what we're giving it credit for, because that 2021 outlier was an anomaly.
Especially since then, you know, you've had deficits of production of platinum out of the ground versus demand for platinum of 500,000 to 750,000 ounces every year since then. So that is definitely a much healthier move now versus what it was back then.
All right. Well, every week we're going to touch on the fundamentals too. We didn't get as much into the underlying fundamentals that move the precious metals markets, but a lot of it has to go with just looking back at what the Federal Reserve said last week. And that's that they are lowering their 2025 GDP estimate to 1.4% and lifting inflation to 3%. So that is a reason to not cut rates. But they think the labor markets remain solid. Inflation has eased, but it's running above the 2% objective. So there really is a tightrope that they have to watch here. But CPI is coming in better than expected. Core prices coming in better than expected. So Trumpageddon has not happened.
Yeah, the tariffs never really materialized in the way that Powell and others thought they would.
No, but they still say that they expect meaningful inflation in the coming months. And I think that's what's got them frozen on the sidelines, to give credit where credit's due. But rates aren't high. They feel like policy is modestly restrictive, not majorly restrictive. And so I don't see them switching course until at least September. But other than that, the economic news is coming in somewhat positively.
Thanks again for joining us for Golden Rule Radio. As always, we appreciate you stopping by. If you liked what you heard and want to learn a little bit more, we encourage you to swing on over to our website. That's McIlvaney.com, McIlvaney.com. You can also find us on Facebook at McIlvaney Financial or Twitter at ICA Gold. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of the advisors here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556.